Well, good morning. I am so glad everybody's here today. During VBS, it was amazing to watch the kids grasp each Bible point. And each night we had a different character, and you can see the five around here. And they each had a different Bible point. So the kids first learned that Jesus gives us hope. There you go. They're saying follow him. Jesus gives us courage. Yeah, Radar the Bat taught us that Jesus gives us direction. And then Olivia taught us that Jesus gives us love. And then my personal favorite was Ray. Jesus gives us power. Yeah, that was great. And they also learned that the reason Jesus gives us all of these things is, well, rather, that he gives us all these things, rather, if we choose to follow him, if we choose to follow the light of Jesus. And that was just a little taste of what our week was like. But if you turn to John 8:12, if you go to John 8:12, this was the verse that kind of spoke to the whole week. In John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, but you will have the light that leads to life." Now, I've read that verse a lot this week as I was preparing for each night's sessions and as I was getting ready for this sermon. And it always kept taking me back to the summertime, and especially early summertime in the evening when you'd be sitting outside and the kids in the neighborhood would be reaching up for those mysterious lights in the sky, you know, chasing the fireflies, the firefly hunters. And it was always great to see a kid reach and then miss and then stare and just wait for that light to light back up so they could reach again, right? And then the real excitement was when a kid reached, wait a minute, there's something in my hand. And they peeked just a little because they didn't want to let it go. And it would glow and it'd be like, yeah, I got it. So excited they caught the firefly. How many remember doing that or have enjoyed watching that? Yes, that was one of the great passages of summertime, wasn't it? Just doing that. They didn't pay attention. They didn't care what was in their way. If they were focused on catching one, they were going to get it. They'd run into fences, run into swing sets, trip in holes. And parents would be like, but they'd get right back up. Where'd it go? That was so much fun. Always enjoyment to see. And it makes me think of this verse as I think about that. If we want to follow Jesus, we should be following the light throughout our day-to-day routines, throughout our jobs, our homes, and our neighborhoods. Everything we do, we should be focused on the light. We should not be worried about the world around us. Our single focus should be on Jesus, the light. As followers of Jesus, if you take nothing else, I want you to remember this. As followers of Jesus, we must focus on the light and not the plight. We've got to stay focused on Jesus. Don't worry, you can't focus on all the troubles of the world, the struggles of the world, the things that get in your way that trip you up. We have got to stay focused on Jesus, the light. And if we do, he's going to get us through all of that. He will get us through all of that. So we must focus on the light, not the plight. It is clear in John 8:12 that Jesus is calling us to follow him. He is the light of the world. And so we can stay out of the darkness. But there are three things throughout the Bible that Jesus makes clear about following him. And these three will help us stay focused on the light. The first one is right here in John 8:12, and it's highlighted this time. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." It's simple, folks. Following Jesus is a choice. If you follow him, you won't have to walk in darkness. No one is forcing you to do it. If you make the conscious choice to follow him, he will get you through. It's a choice. Jesus wants it clear. He's not twisting your arm. He's not making you do it. But if you do it, if you follow him and make that choice, he will get you through. The second thing Jesus wants us to know about following him goes right along with the choice. And it can be found in a passage of Luke. Luke chapter 14. And it's up on the screen if you don't have a Bible or you don't don't want to have your phone ready for the Bible app, but it's in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 32. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison, your father and your mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life." Before I go any farther, understand that he's not asking Dave to hate Barbie. He's not asking me to hate my son. What he's telling you is your love, your focus on him, in comparison, should be like hate. In other words, you should love him so much more than everyone else. Okay? Don't take this away saying, "Jesus said I have to hate my family." That's not what he's getting at here. He wants you just to understand how much more our love, how much more our focus should be on him. And it goes on to say, "Otherwise you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started the building and couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss the terms of peace while the enemy is still far away." Jesus here wants us to count the cost before you commit to following him. He doesn't want you to go into this life of following him without understanding the whole picture. We have to ask ourselves, are we really ready to put everything in our lives, if asked, behind to follow him? The point of these verses, and it's the second point he wants to get across, is that Jesus must take priority. He must take precedence in our life. He must be the priority. We can't let these things in our culture or the temptations of this world get us so distracted and keep us from following the light, following Jesus. The final thing that Jesus wants us to know about following him is found a little bit earlier in Luke. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever I go." Now I got to stop for a moment. I love that first sentence. As they were walking along. Who were they walking with? Oh, wow. That's got to be an amazing moment, walking with the Son of God. I'm sorry, it's just a personal thing. But I can't believe that. I can't imagine that. But Jesus replied to him, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Come follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." So after you've made the choice, you've counted the cost, and then you understand he is to be the priority of following him, understand it's not going to be easy. It will not be easy to follow Jesus. You may have to walk away from the job. Your family, or you may have to sell the house you love. You may have to give up on a personal dream and never look back. Following Jesus, folks, is tough. And the world around us makes it even more difficult every time a politician opens their mouth. It becomes harder and harder. But what we sometimes, I think, we lose sight of when we listen to election results or we talk about world affairs, we lose sight of the light and we don't take a stand for what truly matters. We forget what Jesus told us in Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. "God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you because you are my disciples. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. We're going to get persecuted. We're going to get laughed at. We may get mocked. I see it happen on social media every day. But the thing we have to remember is that great reward. We are promised, we are guaranteed here if we choose to follow Jesus. A reward that even here on earth, we can't even begin to fully comprehend what it's going to be like. But it's one that He promises, that everything I've read promises, will be worth it. It will be worth it if you can just stick to following the light. Now, I want to talk to anyone sitting here today who has struggled or is struggling with following God. Maybe you're feeling stressed about it today or worried about your walk. Maybe you're distraught over it. Or maybe you don't even know. You came here today, you don't even know Jesus. You don't even know if you want to follow this Jesus. Or some of you may be sitting here going, I can't even live up to His expectations. Let me tell you right here, right now, you are not alone. You are not alone. Any Christ follower, if they're being completely honest, will tell you that at some point, or at multiple points, they have had times where they struggle to follow Him. Life gets hard. Things start to pile up. Maybe we don't feel worthy of Christ's love. Or sometimes life is just going along fine. Everything's going along great. And we get so into our routine that we lose sight of God. And there's no way we want to rock the boat when things are going well. Just remember, there is not one person here on earth who is perfect except the one we are to follow. He is the perfect one. And we are constantly, constantly under construction, folks. We are constantly being changed and growing and getting closer to Him as time moves forward. If you don't believe me, and I can see by some of your faces, you're not quite sure that I'm right. We're going to take a quick look at my buddy Peter. And yes, I'm talking about the disciple and close friend to Jesus. And I think after we go through these scriptures, you will see that he's your buddy too. Now, I'm going to look at just some scriptures. We're not going to read everyone. We're going to just paraphrase them for time's sake. But on your bulletin there in the insert with the sermon notes, you'll see a list of scriptures. Those are the scriptures that we're going to go through right now. So please, go back and read them for yourself. Get into the Word and learn about Peter, but more importantly, learn how Jesus and Peter interacted. But if you go to John 1:42, you will see this is the point that Jesus is introduced to, or that Peter, rather, is introduced to Jesus by his little brother Andrew. And he is told that Jesus will be changing his name to Peter, from Simon to Peter, which stands for rock. Now, this may sound crazy to you, but for Peter, it's actually a compliment at this point. You see, before he's even begun his following of Jesus, Peter is at a good point. He's at a high point with Jesus because he knows Jesus has some kind of plan for him if there's a reason for changing his name. He's up here. He's ready to go. I am going to follow Jesus. It's like many of us. I remember right after I was baptized, I was like, yes, let's go. There's your hop, Susie. Let's go. Yes, let's go. Let's go to the world. Let's take the scriptures to the world. Let's reach people for Jesus. You remember that moment, that high you were on? This is what it's like for Peter. Jesus has just told him, without putting in so many words, I got a plan for you. We're going to change your name. Let's go. If you go farther along in the scriptures, after they spent some time together, if you go to Matthew 14, verses 22 through 29, this is where Jesus walks on the water. Now, I'm going to tell you from VBS. Kids, how many of you enjoyed walking on water? Yeah. Yeah. They actually got to walk on water. They did it. Luckily, we had a chemistry major to help us get everything ready for that, or a chemistry teacher, rather. But we did. We walked on water, and they had a blast with it. Well, the short version of this long story here is that the disciples were on a boat in a storm late at night, and they're rock and roll, and all of a sudden, Jesus is walking towards them. And they're not quite sure what they're seeing, but someone, yes, is walking on the water, and it's Jesus. and they are scared. But Peter tells Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, if that's really you, then ask me to come out of the boat and I'm out there." How many would say that? No, not this guy. Not this guy. But Jesus said, "Yes, it's me. Peter, come." What's Peter do? He steps out of the boat. What's Peter doing? He's walking on water. Woo-hoo-hoo! High moment. He had the faith to follow the light out even onto the waves, onto the water, and he did it. He is up here when he's on a high moment with God and his following. But if you go a little farther, down to verse 30 in that chapter, you'll see the waves happened, storm was around him, thunder and everything. What did Peter do? Yeah, took his focus off the light, started sinking. Started sinking fast. He's like, "Jesus, save me." Well, Jesus did, because Jesus is just a good guy. But he saved him, and they got on the boat together. Now, this was a low moment for Peter. Here he is following God, steps out on water. God's got a plan for me. Take his face off the light, focus on the world around him. Boom. Peter went from a skipping stone to a sinking boulder. This, again, was a low moment. But a couple chapters later, in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19, Jesus is talking with his disciples. Talking with his disciples. We've walked with him, now he's talking with them. And the disciples had just shared what the world thought, or who the world thought he was. Some say Elijah, some say prophet. You know, they shared all of that. But then Peter gives the perfect Sunday school answer here, brother. Peter gives the answer. And Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And he says, "Peter, you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Peter nails it. You see, Messiah here, Jesus is the Anointed One. He is the King of Kings. He is the Holy One. And Peter nails it. He is right. And Jesus tells him that. Woo, Peter was a sinking stone. I'm back up here. I got this now, Jesus. I ain't ever taking my eye off you. You know, Peter had to be, yeah. That doesn't last long, though. Doesn't last long. If you go to verses 21 through 28 in Matthew 16, this is one of the times where Jesus is predicting his death. And he says, you know, something bad's basically going to happen to me and I'm going to die, is what he's trying to tell them. And Peter, and if you look in the NLT, I love the word that uses. NLT uses the word reprimanded Jesus. Reprimanded Jesus. Now, before we go any farther, I got to be honest. I've done that. I've gotten mad and told him, this ain't happening, or you're doing this wrong. He reminded me that he knew what he was doing. And Jesus does that here. Peter just reprimanded Jesus. And what's Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Satan. How many want to be called the devil from Jesus? No. You do not want to be called the devil. And the problem with Peter was he was taking his eye off the light and he was focused on the world around him. He was focused on the world around him. He was only seeing things through human eyes, not through God's big picture. So Peter went back up here, whoop, right back down, low moment. That has to be pretty low, being called Satan. But we go farther in Matthew. Peter sticks with Jesus. And we go to Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to start at verse 31 here. And this is after the Last Supper, and most likely walking towards the garden. And Peter is just thinking about everything that just happened. You know, the Lord just said someone was going to betray him. And then Judas got up for some weird reason, right? He washed their feet. The Son of God washed my feet. He's telling them, and he's telling them about places that only he can go, and they can't follow him. And here he tells them that you're going to fall away. All of you, my disciples, are going to fall away from me. Peter, this is my chance. I'm getting this right this time. 50, and he says, he just tells him, "I will never fall away. No matter what happens, I will never fall away from you, God." Bold declaration, right? Bold. And he's back up here. He's, "I got this. I understand you, Jesus. I am following you." And then we go a little farther, verses 36 through 45. They're in the garden, and Jesus asks him to be one of three people to go further into the garden and pray with him. Woo! Man, I'm telling you, they can walk with God, they can talk with God. Now they get to go pray with Jesus. And these guys knew, they had seen Jesus pray. This just wasn't, now I lay me down to sleep. No, when Jesus prayed, he talked to God, and they knew it. And they were about to go be in the inner sanctum, so to speak, and do it with him. Peter, he's up there. This following Jesus is an awesome thing. Well, if you go to verses 40, 43, and 45, what happens to Peter? He's tired. He's like all of us volunteers were Thursday after VBS. He was exhausted. And he fell asleep, not once, not twice, three times. Three times. They couldn't even stay awake. The Son of God asked him to pray with him. When Jesus needed him to pray the most, he and the other two could not do so. Oof. Let him down, right? Let Jesus down. Well, at this point, hustle and bustle comes. Judas comes, kisses him. Jesus is arrested. Jesus is arrested. And he's taken away to see Caiaphas. Well, if you look in 57:58, Peter follows Jesus. He's the only one of the disciples to follow Jesus at this time. Now, he does it from a back, from afar. You know, around corners, there they go. He goes up to the next corner, sees where they go. But he still does it. He's still the only one who follows Jesus at this point when he has been arrested. He's getting back up there. He says, okay, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this right. We don't have to go any farther than verse 70. They said, you're with that man. You're with Jesus. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know him. Whoa. Whoop. 72, verse 72 comes along. They say, I know you were a servant. You were with Jesus. Peter's response, I don't know this man. Falling down even farther. One more time, 74 and 75, when someone else recognized him, I don't know the man. He's denied Jesus three times now. That is not following the light. That is a part of his journey. That is a low moment. And you don't think you can get much lower than that, but what does he hear? Rooster crows. Who told him that was going to happen? Jesus! He told him. He warned him. Peter didn't believe. Low moment in this following Jesus, this journey with Jesus. Of course, Jesus is then later crucified, dead and buried. If you go to Luke chapter 24, verse 12, it's the Sunday morning after Jesus has been killed. All of a sudden, he's told that the tomb is empty. Peter goes, runs, gets there. What's he find? Empty tomb. Now, he's not sure what's going on here, really. All he knows is the tomb is empty. What, did Jesus rise? Did they take him? He doesn't know. But there is a little bit of hope at this point because there's something there. Something's different. Something's not the same. Something has changed. There's a little hope. I'm headed to, I got to go see where this light is going. Well, later in John chapter 21, my favorite story. I'm not kidding you. My favorite Jesus story with the disciples in the whole Bible. John 21. In verse 7, they were out fishing, some of the disciples, and Jesus walks up on shore. Now, they're not really sure who's on shore at this moment. Maybe the glare from the sun, who knows? Maybe just didn't recognize him. And he says, cast your nets on their side. But they've been fishing all night, no luck, right? But then, the fishing of all fishing happens, right? This is what you hope when you go on fishing trips, Mike. Mike, you just pull them in, yeah? And Peter realizes that's Jesus. Does he wait for the boat to go to shore? No. Does he try to walk on water? No, he just dives in and swims for it. That's Jesus. I have got to get to him. Leaves the fish, leaves them to pull in the big old net of fish and bring it in. He doesn't care. It's all about who? The light, Jesus. Then in verses 15 through 17, after breakfast with Jesus, Jesus clearly shows Peter how big his grace is. As three times, Peter is asked by Jesus, if you love me, do you love me? And Peter's like, yes, I love you. Jesus says, go feed my sheep. Go take care of my sheep. Go take care of my flock. Go take care of my children. Go take care of my church. What a high point. I did all of this. You called me Satan. I let you down in the garden. I denied you 3 times. But you love me so much. You love me so much, you're going to forgive me. And you want me now to do what? Go feed my sheep, go lead my sheep, go tell the world, take this church and run with it? High moment. High moment. And we could, there's so many more passages with Peter. But you could, we're going to just go, finish with one more in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 41. The Holy Spirit has come. Peter is preaching to a crowd of people. And after he's done, 3,000 people are baptized. 3,000 people are baptized. David and I get excited when one of you come. I'm being serious. Not because we don't think you will, just because it's an awesome moment. And you're telling me 3,000 people got baptized? Took, accepted Jesus as their Savior? What a moment for Peter. What a moment for Peter. Here's the thing. I'm not telling you all you have to go preach to a crowd and get 3,000 people baptized. What I want you to realize is Peter had an up and down following of Jesus. It was like a roller coaster, big hills, small hills. He messed up. He's human, just like us. He kept having a mix of high points and low points, just like much of our own personal lives and relationships with him. It's going to happen. You know, so often we read the Bible and we look at these characters and we look at their high points and we think, oh, they're just awesome. Their following of Jesus is just awesome. And that's incorrect. It's incorrect. They have moments just like us where we get scared, where the world around us makes us make choices that we know Jesus would not want us to make. The thing Peter got, and it really happened on shore when Jesus asked him 3 times if he loved him, is the grace of Jesus. There was nothing Peter could do that God, that Jesus could not cover. Wow. To think, I'm no different than Peter, you're no different than Peter. A man who loved God, who Jesus told him to go feed my sheep. That's the Jesus we follow. That's the light we should keep our eyes on. And that's the light that will see us through. As a follower of Jesus, don't let the trials of life or your past sins stop you from accepting Christ and follow him. There is nothing too big he can't overcome, and there is not one single situation he can't get you through. As a follower of Jesus, we must focus on the light and not the plight. Focus on Jesus and his light and let it shine through you. Don't let the world distract you. Don't let the circumstances of your life stop you. And don't fear the unknown path of your journey. Jesus will see you through. In just a moment, the worship team will come and they'll be leading us in a new song. It's what the musicians played during our communion time, if you were listening. I just want to read some of the lyrics to you first. The song is called, Oh Come to the Altar. And it starts with, are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There is no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. There is no better time than now to accept Christ as your Savior and follow Him. If you are ready today, please come forward as we sing that song and begin the first step of your journey with God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in prayer and we lift you up. And I ask you to be with all the individuals out there, no matter where their walk of life is right now. Maybe they've already accepted you and they're following and they're struggling. Maybe things are going along good and they're sticking to following you. Help them to stay focused on the light. Maybe they don't know you and we just need to let a little of the light in. Or maybe they're ready. They need a little push. They're scared. That's what you do, Jesus. That's what you do, God. You make the change. We just ask now that you open our hearts and minds to you, that we take the message out to the world that Jesus is the light. Come follow. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.